ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। I was speaking on Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 29. Bhuktaram yagyatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richati. Krishna says that one who understands me as the proprietor, first of all, the enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities, the proprietor, the master, the overlord of all planets and inhabitants thereof, and the best friend of every living being, one who understands this, one who knows this, attains peace. One point from this verse we can understand is that people in the material world are not peaceful. Otherwise, it wouldn't be stated that you can attain peace by knowing these three things. It just points out that everyone is not peaceful. And as Krishna has already stated there, ashantasya kuta sukham. Where is the happiness for one who is not peaceful? So this is practical. It's not just some philosophical speculation. It's not, we say the peace formula, but it's actually a fact. If we can recognize these points, then we become peaceful. And that is the basis of happiness. This Yamuna Bhavavali is developed from the Shanta and Dasya Rasa of Yamuna Acharya has expressed. Shanta is sometimes given as neutrality. Neutrality, but it's a feeling of deep appreciation for the Supreme Lord. Appreciate that we find in Yamuna Acharya's writings great appreciation of his glories. And then Dasya, on the basis of that service to him, develops. And one will become fully satisfied if one... Satisfaction, of course, is the opposite of the state in the material world. If one, peace, satisfaction. One becomes peaceful when one is satisfied. one is satisfied when one is peaceful. One is not peaceful when one has many desires to fulfill. So there's another verse in Stotra Ratna. Kadaham aikantika. How does that verse begin? Bhavantam evanu charanirantara prashanta nishesha manoratantara kadaham aikantika nitya kinkara praharshayashami sanata jivita. Yamuna Acharya says that when will I become fully satisfied? He's desiring that situation when he becomes fully satisfied to serve Krishna. Becomes fully satisfied at the present, because he's expressing at the present time, I'm dissatisfied because there's so many... The mind is on the chariot of desire and is running here and there, or never stationary. The mind is always flickering this way and that way. So he's praying, when will that day come when I will be situated in one-pointed, fully focused, fully dedicated service to yourself? Then I will feel fully satisfied. The condition of the souls in this material world always dissatisfied, never satisfied. So satisfaction comes, actually satisfaction, that term gives the idea of there is dissatisfaction, or a feeling of lacking. Just like, I was hungry, I have ate, and now I am satisfied. So it's, there's the word satisfaction, it implies that one's desires have been fulfilled. There's a similar term, contentment. This is English, obviously. contentment means that you don't have any desires to fulfill, you're just content. Satisfaction on the material platform means I wanted something, I got it, now I'm satisfied. But actually no one's ever satisfied, because the desires of the mind come again, and more and more and more desires. But contentment is a state of mind in which one may have food or not have food. One may be rich or poor, one may be honored or insulted, but one is content, because one is completely detached from the conditions of this world and is fully satisfied in the service of Krishna, fully satisfied in the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So this is all expressed in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna. This verse, Bhuktaram Yagya Tapasam, it is the summary or the answer to, there's so much discussion before that, and of how the Stitadhi Muni, Stitapragya, one who has fixed his intelligence, he's quietened the desires of the mind. He's like a tortoise who withdraws the senses at any possibility of their being agitated. But this verse, Bhuktaram Yagya Tapasam, it just transcends the whole process of trying to control the mind and the senses and make it quiet and still so that one can become peaceful. Krishna, at the end of this whole section of how to live in this world, being detached, just if we understand Krishna, if we understand Krishna and our relationship with Him, then automatically we become peaceful. There's also in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna describes to Uddhava the instruction of the Hamsa avatar, the Supreme Lord in the form of the swan, who appeared to the four Kumaras and Brahma. The four Kumaras had approached Brahma. These four Kumaras, they're always meditating on the meaning of life, the situation of transcendental existence, and discussing among themselves. But they themselves became perplexed in discussing among themselves, and so they brought a question to Brahma. And they said that, well, as long as the senses are attracted to the sense objects, then we can't be free from the condition of material existence. We can't attain liberation. But the very nature of the senses and the sense objects is that they enter into each other. The senses, they exist because of the sense objects, and the sense objects, they are perceived through the senses. They're so intimately linked that how is it possible to get free from the interaction of the senses and the sense objects? Because we have senses and the sense objects are all around us. So how is it possible to get free from the interaction of the senses and the sense objects and become liberated? So they asked Brahma, and Brahma also thought, I don't know. He also became bewildered. Then a swan appeared before them, who is Hansa Avatar, and said, you just forgot one thing, me. You forgot about me. You're supposed to think about me. If you think about me, then you automatically you transcend the position of being on the material platform of the senses, interacting in a mundane way with the sense objects. So this Bhuktaram Yajna Tapasam, understand Krishna, and then we automatically become the very difficult process of trying to understand that we are different from the body. That we should also understand, but in the context of understanding that we are all servants of Krishna, who is our very best friend. Otherwise, bhukti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hridi vartate tavat bhakti sukhasya atar katama bhyudevyo bhavet. Otherwise, we are haunted by the witches of material desire, or not so common, but it's another kind of witch. The desire to be released from material entanglement. They're both witches because they both divert our attention away from our real need, our real prayojana, which is to love Krishna. So the happiness of bhakti cannot fully manifest in the heart of someone who remains attached to trying to enjoy this material world, or even trying to negate one's existence in this material world. And it's like haunted. Pishachi paile jena moti channa hoy maya grasta jive hoy shai bhavudai. So someone who's in material existence, they're just like someone haunted by a ghost. It just goes on and on, and one forgets one's actual identity. So in the same way, we have material desires. We think that by fulfilling them, we'll be satisfied. We're not satisfied. The more we try to satisfy material desires, the more they manifest within the heart. Just more and more and more and more dissatisfaction arises from the endeavor to try to satisfy these material desires. And then what is the result? Shesha, klesha, nishesha. Unending distress. This is the nature of this material world. And it's just amazing, the power of Maya, that people can't see this. In the whole Western world, whatever religion is there, it's based on the idea that actually the world is very nice. We find in the book of Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible for both the people of the Jewish faith and the Christians, that God created the world in 6 days and he saw that it was good. The idea is that God made the world good. And then the atheists come and say, well, what's good about it? That means there's no God. It's all a wrong idea. But even the Hindus and the Buddhists and others who think that actually this world is, they know it's a place of suffering, theoretically, but it's very theoretical. Krishna is very kind to his devotees. What is his kindness? We may think, well, the kindness of God is that he takes away all our material problems. Ultimately, yes, but he may even increase them. Generally, people take to devotional service due to material distress. They think, I'm suffering so much. Let me turn to Krishna. Krishna will help me. He might give you more distress. Maybe not in the beginning. But we can know, we may have to go through so much distress until we realize that I have no other shelter than Krishna. But actually for a devotee, because he hears the teachings of Krishna, then he realizes that this distress is, what appears to be distress, is Krishna's mercy upon me, so that I can realize that there's nothing to enjoy in this world. Krishna's being very kind to me by giving me so much distress, so I can realize, first of all, I can realize that I shouldn't try to enjoy this material world. And again, I can realize that actually this so-called distress, just like so-called happiness, it's all meaningless. If I have very rich, wealthy, opulent situation, it's temporary, it's not me. My relationship is in, my situation is in relationship to Krishna. If I have a very suffering situation, that's also temporary, meaningless. My relationship is with Krishna. That's my eternal relationship. But a devotee sees that even the happiness, the so-called happiness of this world, if one is rich, healthy, Janmaishvarya, Shuta Shri, one has birth in a prestigious situation, wealth, intelligence and learning, bodily beauty, that's also suffering. It's also a condition of suffering for one who is not in relation to Krishna, who is not living their life in relation to Krishna. Because it's the same thing. They have material desires. What is the cause of suffering? Desire. So someone who has some facility to fulfill those desires, it doesn't mean we think that that's material happiness, because we think that the fulfillment of desire is happiness. But that's a mistake. What we speak of when we say material happiness, is just another phase of distress, because it's not actually happiness. There may be some illusion of happiness as compared to the illusion of distress, but it's all distress. That we can realize when we have some insight into the actual happiness of the soul in relationship to Krishna. The example, or an example, is that prisoners, they may be punished every day by being beaten with rods. So someone may be beaten with an iron rod, someone may be beaten with a silver rod, and someone may be beaten with a gold rod, and the person who's being beaten by a gold rod may say, you see, I'm superior to you. I'm being beaten by a gold rod and you're being beaten by an iron rod. But the beating is going on. One may be in very opulent and so-called happy situation, but the birth, death, old age and disease is there. And one who has... It can happen at any time by the fluctuations of material nature. The one who is very wealthy, all of a sudden, they lose everything. And they come to the position of a poor man, and then they suffer more than the poor man, because the poor man's used to being poor. He doesn't expect to be rich. But the wealthy person, they can only remember, I was so wealthy, I had so many servants, and now I can hardly even fill my belly. I have to wear these ragged clothes. So he suffers more. So the happiness of this material world is just a setup for us to suffer more. Those who are enjoying more, that they don't realize they're being prepared to suffer more. Just like the pig is being fed to become fat, and he thinks, very nice. My owner is very good, feeds me lots of food, and I'm becoming very fat. He doesn't realize that one day the owner is going to come and slit his throat. He's being fattened so he can become slaughtered to be eaten. This is the situation of this material world. So we can actually become peaceful and happy by understanding, not thinking, let me finish all desire. Buddhadeva has analyzed that desire is the cause of all suffering. So therefore, stop all desire. There's no stopping desire. We have to purify our desires and not to think I shall become free from all desire. It's a self-defeating proposition, because if you want to stop desire, that's a desire. Then what are you going to do? We can't get free from desire. But we should know that to desire in and of itself is not a bad thing. But we should desire to please Krishna. Krishna can satisfy all our desire. We will be satisfied in Krishna. Krishna will satisfy our desires, but our desires should be only to satisfy Him. That's all. Very simple formula. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, so all my activities should be for His pleasure. Krishna is the supreme proprietor of everything and everyone, so I should act as His servant and not try to lord it over others or try to establish my superiority. Krishna is the supreme friend of everyone, so He loves me, I should love Him in reciprocation. And He loves everyone else, so I should love everyone else also. Very simple formula. One attains peace, actually much more than peace. Much, much more than peace by acting in that. So He is the supreme proprietor, so we should offer everything to Him, trying to please Him. That's bhakti. This verse is just the lead-in to bhakti. That, all right, Krishna's given me this body, He's given me some facility, He may have given me some money or some followers, but that's given to me to offer back to Him, to try to please Him. That's all. Try to please Him. That's all. Very simple. Bhakti is a very simple thing to understand. Just try to please Krishna, that's all. Just try to satisfy Krishna. Instead of trying to satisfy our desires and being dissatisfied again and again and again, on and on and on, life after life after life, just try to please Krishna, that's all. And Krishna, how can we make Him happy? He likes to, when we all join together and chant His holy names. He likes when we offer Him fruit, flower, leaf and water. He likes when we hear His glories and praise Him. He likes that. So if we satisfy Krishna, we try to satisfy Him, we also become satisfied. Very simple, very pleasing formula. Any service that we render in the conscience, let me please Krishna, let this be for the pleasure of Krishna. That will completely satisfy us. If we try completely to satisfy Krishna, then we ourselves will be completely satisfied. If we do some service to Krishna thinking, well, I'll do this and then Krishna will bless me by improving my material situation, it's not fully giving ourselves to Krishna. We want something back from Krishna. And we won't be fully satisfied in two ways. Because first of all, we can only be fully satisfied if we fully give ourselves to Krishna. And another thing is, if we want some material result from serving Krishna, then nothing material can satisfy us. So on both counts, we're cheating ourselves by, if we try to perform devotional service with any material motive. So one should be a pure devotee, and that will give a permanent result. If we ask Krishna, that Krishna, I'm serving You, now You solve all my material problems, You give me a good material situation, Krishna might give that, but that's something temporary and not very meaningful. But if we serve Krishna only for His pleasure, then we become situated in our permanent situation, jivesvarup hoy Krishna nityodas. We're simply meant to serve Krishna. So we become situated in our eternal situation. And that service rendered in that consciousness, that is for our eternal benefit. Neha bhikramana ashusti pratyavayana vidyate swabham apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhaya. Just a little, if we perform in the proper consciousness of wanting to serve Krishna, that Krishna will notice that and he will save us from the greatest fear. He will protect us from falling into the cycle of birth and death again and again. Even if one performs devotional service with some material motive, Krishna is very kind and he accepts that at some level, but that won't fully satisfy us. Savai pungsang paro dharma yato bhaktira dhokshaya haitukya pratyata yayatma suprasidati. Our very self will become fully satisfied if we act on the actual platform of dharma, which is the highest dharma, which is simply to try to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses without any personal desire whatsoever. And fully dedicate ourselves to Krishna, and then we become fully satisfied. Very simple form. If we're feeling any dissatisfaction in our hearts, we should look and see what is the cause of that. There must be some material motive is there. If we're not feeling fully happy in bhakti, then we should look into our heart. What is that? There must be some material desire there. Of course, we're all here, we're singing and chanting and dancing together, all very happily. We're in the Vaikuntha atmosphere. It may be as we go on with our devotional life, day after day, we experience some dissatisfaction. What is the cause? We should look and see. There's nothing wrong with the process of bhakti. There must be something in my heart. What is that material desire? Let me fully rededicate myself to Krishna and be satisfied in his service. The opportunity to serve Krishna, that is what Krishna wants. Of course, in a preaching movement, we have so many goals. We want to change the world. We all have our part to play. We may go out for book distribution. Then we have a desire. I want to distribute so many books. We might not get the result that we want. It might be that we don't distribute many books, or we might not distribute any books, for instance. Or it might be that we spend years and years developing some project and then in Krishna consciousness, and then for some reason it collapses. Or it comes to nothing, or we're trying to do something and it just doesn't come about. The result that we're aiming for may not come about. And we may get disappointed. That means that we have some material attachment to the result, because we should try our best in Krishna's service and in one sense not be attached to the result. We very much want that many people will take Srila Prabhupada's books. But on the other hand, we should know that it's not me that's doing it. I can simply be an instrument in distributing these books. We can simply try to fulfill in our whatever capacity we have to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. Recently I came across again a letter of Srila Prabhupada that he wrote. Must have been 1965 or 1966, from America to a disciple of one of his godbrothers, who Srila Prabhupada was trying to bring him to America to help Srila Prabhupada in his preaching activities there. And from Prabhupada's reply, the letter that we have, we can see that the devotee who wrote that letter had quoted his own guru as saying that Srila Prabhupada's efforts in America were ludicrous. He used this word ludicrous. Because he thought, what is this Bhaktivedanta Swami? He's just some household, he was a householder devotee. He has no real experience in preaching. He doesn't know what it is to build up a mission. As so many godbrothers of Srila Prabhupada, they develop their own independent missions. He's never done anything. He went to Jhansi once and he thought he'd make this big worldwide society, and it all collapsed. That's mentioned in the letter. And then now he's gone to America and he's just writing back to India to help us. He's not able to do anything there. It's all ludicrous. That term was used. And Prabhupada, he strongly rebutted. No, it's not ludicrous. It's all transcendental. The effort to serve Krishna, to fulfill the desires of the previous acharyas, that can never be ludicrous. So it might have seemed ludicrous. What is this? He's saying he's going to make America, he's gone to America, nothing, he's just sitting there talking all big things, nothing's happening. Well, eventually it did happen. But it might not have. I mean, if you go back in time, you don't know what's going to happen in future. It might not have happened. But still, Prabhupada's endeavor was completely glorious. The effort was there to serve Krishna purely. So the result might come, or it might not come, the result that we're expecting or hoping for. But if we become disappointed, and we think, well, I just wasted my time, that means that we were performing the service not in proper consciousness. If we think, well, I wasted my time, I spent so many years serving and nothing happened, so I wasted my time. That means that we didn't perform service in the proper consciousness. We should know that if we're sincerely trying to please Krishna, then Krishna is pleased. Of course, we should be intelligent in our activities in Krishna consciousness also. We shouldn't pursue a program that is not very likely to work. We see that Srila Prabhupada, one reason, the reason for his success was that he's favored by Krishna, but his success in terms of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. But one of the factors that we see how Krishna favored him was with pragmatic intelligence of what to do, how to do it, how to deal with people. So we should pursue some programs that are realistic. We have so much guidance in Shastra. We're also warned in devotional service against prayasa, which just means endeavor, but it's explained that that means that we shouldn't unnecessarily endeavor for something that is very difficult to attain. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada explained that if we may have some idea to build a big temple, but we don't have the means to do so, it becomes a great endeavor. It can actually handicap our advancement in spiritual life. So we should also see what we're capable of, what can be done. Also, aiming to shoot the rhinoceros, another saying of Srila Prabhupada, try to do something wonderful for Krishna. And they're all different factors to be considered. But ultimately, one has to serve Krishna. This is the essence, to try to serve Krishna to the best of one's capacity. And the result is in Krishna's hands. our sincere desire to serve Krishna will be appreciated by Krishna. And Krishna is looking to see not exactly the service performed, but how we are becoming attached to him. Just as in the famous story of the monkeys throwing the rocks into the ocean to build the floating rock ocean, the floating rock bridge over the ocean to Lanka, and a squirrel or chipmunk was pushing some sand, and Ram appreciated the service of the monkey and the service of the squirrel. The service of the monkey was something practical and useful. The service of the chipmunk was not practical or useful. But Rama, he appreciated the endeavor. So Krishna, he appreciates the endeavor, the sincerity. He appreciates how we want to serve him. How we, in all the endeavors, we have so many activities in the Krishna Conscious Movement, trying to spread this movement. But Krishna wants to see ultimately how we are becoming attached to him, how we are taking pleasure in hearing and chanting about him and serving him. Becoming attached to him means bhakti pareshanu bhavo viraktir anyatra. Becoming attached to him means also becoming detached from everything else. Not that we show great feeling for Krishna, but we're also attached to that of this material world. One devotee just told me that he saw some devotees. They were going for Sri Ranga, for the darshan here in the temple. They all took darshan very nicely, and then they were coming out and discussing among themselves about cricket. So he thought, well, what's that? He was surprised that they're going with great devotion before the Lord, and immediately they came out and they were discussing about cricket. There's something incongruous there. Of course, under the Mayavadi idea, well, that's another whole discussion. Their idea of Leela, everything in the material world is the Leela. Anyway, that's another big discussion, their misunderstanding. How we're becoming attached to him means we're not attached to anything else. If we become attached to Krishna, our life is completely, that is the perfection of life. And we should also act in a way that others may also awaken their attachment to Krishna. And the result might not be that we may go out and try to preach and try to bring others to Krishna. It may not come. But if we become attached to Krishna, Krishna becomes pleased. One can go and preach in Japan or in Saudi Arabia. There are difficult places to preach. Here in India, it's relatively easy to propagate Krishna consciousness. You can try, if you think you're a great preacher, just go and try preaching in Iraq or Afghanistan. Then we'll see. It's easy to, of course, actual preaching is never ultimately easy, but it's relatively easy to preach, bring people in. So let's just see how empowered you are. Go to Japan, where for years and years the devotees have been preaching, and very few people come. Go to Afghanistan, see what you can do there. If you can do something, very good. But the same endeavor may not bring the same result in different places. But someone who's trying to preach in Afghanistan, they're quite likely to get a lot more mercy than someone who's preaching among the pious Hindus of India. There's a lot of mercy to be had in difficult situations. Anyway, our idea is to serve Krishna and be satisfied in serving Krishna, knowing that Krishna is satisfied if we sincerely try to serve Him. That's all. Simple formula. Be happy in Krishna consciousness. That's all. Be happy that we have the opportunity every day to chant Hare Krishna. Be satisfied. Not necessarily I have to show myself, I have to prove myself, what a great preacher I am. Yeah, go preach, do what you can to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas. When we say the mission of Srila Prabhupada, that also means the mission of Ramanuja, same mission. What is that mission? The same mission as Krishna. Yada yada hi dharmasya glaniya bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamya paritranaya sadhunam vinashayata dushkritam dharmasansthapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Just as Krishna comes in this world to redress the imbalance when adharma becomes prominent and dharma becomes eclipsed. Krishna kills the demons and uplifts the devotees, and reestablishes dharma. So devotees, they do that, not necessarily or usually killing the demons, but cutting their wrong ideas. So that's the mission of Krishna. Great devotees like Ramanuja Acharya, like Srila Prabhupada, they come to this world to assist in that mission, and they very kindly give us the opportunity to also assist in that mission. For we have to do janma sartak kari karo para upakar, we ourselves have to be Krishna conscious. And on that basis, try to help others. So be satisfied. The dissatisfaction in Krishna consciousness can also come by applying material desire to what should be a spiritual desire. The spiritual desire to preach Krishna consciousness can be mixed with the material desire that I have to show myself, I have to be better than others, I have to show I'm an empowered devotee, I can do so much, I'm a great preacher. Well, Krishna might not be pleased. You might be a so-called great preacher, but Krishna might not be very pleased if one's motive is to show oneself to be better than others. Krishna may be very satisfied with the devotee who's doing some simple, humble service, cleaning the floor, or making some flower garlands. You know, well, anyone can make flower garlands. I'm going to go and preach. But Krishna, he is bhavagrahi. So that works both ways. If one's bhav is pure, Krishna accepts that. If one's bhav is not pure in Krishna, he might not be very pleased with that. So be happy to serve Krishna, to have this opportunity to serve Krishna. Hare Krishna.